Although we can, we don't talk about that last episode because, you know, after all, somebody tried to hijack it and fuck him.
That was a mess and a half, man.
We were so mad, for the record. I wanted to reach through the screen and choke someone.
Yeah. I still want to. I blocked them, but...
Yeah.
After they took their money, after they took my deposit back.
That was the best part.
That was my
I'm sorry, that's bad.
For the record.
That was the best part.
Just
proved everything. Well, did I show you the message he sent me? I don't know if I did.
Yes.
Did I?
I think so.
Such a creep. And I tried to do the right thing. I tried to tell him, outside of here, I'll help you get the help you need, but publicly, we're done. So, like, I'll help you in real life with your real life name. And he told me to go fuck myself, so I'm cool with that.
Right.
I think he said we Chris Benoit'd him. I think that was what he said.
That was the phrase he used.
Now I remember this. Yeah, you said,
I'm pretty sure my family's safe and Greg's family's safe and... Yeah, no, I don't know how that happened.
I don't have a family, so we're good.
Your family's back on the farm.
Yeah. They are. My mother, it's not a farm really much anymore. She lives in the city now. Well, it's not even a city. It's a little place called Norwalk. It's in the middle of nowhere, but she considers it a city because they have a Walmart. So they have
a word? City.
That's what makes a city?
To her, look, like I said, she's the coal miner's daughter. She grew up in the coal mines in Kentucky. She moved to Ohio when she was 14, and she was already married at that time and had her first kid at 16, her second kid at 18, and then I showed up when she was 36. Surprise.
I'm not sure surprise is the word. It might be a different word for it.
She said I was the one that was planned, and I can say it's for a fact that I probably was. But I was raised like an only child because my brother and sister were in their 20s by the time I was born. So they already were out of the house and had kids of their own, and I have nieces and nephews that are older than me. So I didn't really see them much because they already... So I was raised like an only child, so...
That had to be awkward for your however, older siblings. That's got to be real awkward. Ugh.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I remember one of my nieces, she was turning 21 and I wasn't 20. I was 19 at the time. And she was like, hey, Aunt Brittany, you want to go? Oh, you can't. I'm like,
wow. That's so mean.
Yeah. They get that from me.
Yeah.
You know for a fact. Kobe.
Stop.
And then Brittany said, did you know? You know who else drank at 21? Hitler.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I just... God. I already love this podcast so much. I hope you at home that are listening are enjoying this as much as we are, because this is me in my realest form, I say. My most... professional, unprofessional form, as it were. This is Brittany Nicole at her finest.
Yeah, we have that effect on people.
That's why we like our show. It's not cookie cutter. No two shows are the same.
No two shows are that's for damn sure.
And they just keep getting more and more fun.
What if you just broke this down, and when you do a two-parter, break the first half down into it is actually the breakdown of Greg, and it's just a psychological breakdown of Greg, and then the second part is our actual, like, conversation.
Guess because one show would be an hour and 10 minutes, and the other one would be, like, three. We'd have a full episode of you guys crushing me, and then I'd have 3 minutes of other content that I can maybe put into a cute video.
Make it into a reel, a little sizzle reel.
Yeah, a little sizzle reel. Exactly.
See, that certificate's paying off. Yeah. You knew what sizzle reel was.
Hell yeah, that was a project.
You gotta understand, Greg is very self-deprecating, but he's got a pretty good. He fires back pretty good. So like this morning, he's like the. the interview that you did for the promo of the show, it's just too long to put up the thing. So my response was, we'll shorten it, you know, edit it down. What's the big deal? And his response is, dickhead.
No, what I said first before the dickhead was, I was like, yeah, that's a great idea because you don't have to do it. Like, yeah, just write.
Right.
Like, there's like, it wasn't
apparently the right answer.
No, it's 13 minutes of a guy like breaking down an entire card. And he's like, oh, just break it up into each match and make a video with every match he talks about. I was like, you're in your goddamn mind. I'm not exactly doing that.
It's a lot of work.
I edit
all of my own interviews and stuff, and I edit a lot of stuff for the TV shows, for Elevate, for our local shows and our YouTube shows, and it's a lot of work.
I will pull back the fourth wall here, another inside jargon for you, everybody out there. That's how I catch up with, like, current wrestling, is while I'm editing, because I'll watch the shows while I'm cutting the shows up. That's how I catch up. That's when I have time to do it.
It's perfect
because
100%.
But you know that broadcasting school
surprise, y'all.
We kind of
have lives.
Yeah, please. We like no joke. That's what I wanted to do when I went to broadcasting school. I wanted to be like I wanted to either do this or be like a sportscaster. That was it. And mm-hmm. I'll be damned if one time in my life I want to call a match. That's all I would just want. I want to do it one time. That's it.
Oh, commentary is so fun.
Yeah, I just want to do it once and just say I did it. I got to ring announce once, and that was terrible.
It's hard work. People don't realize. It's one of those things of, like, people don't realize how much work goes into doing those things. Like, ring announcing isn't easy. If you're going to be good at it, it's not easy. Yeah. Commentating is not easy. If you refereeing isn't easy, that's the thing, is the ref can screw up an entire match. A match could be a 5-star match, and if the ref botches the ending, the it's ruined, you know. So like, you've got like all, it's so many different counterparts and cogs in the wheels that need to work together in order for it to actually be good, and people don't realize that, you know. It's not just yeah. I know a lot of people, they're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go announce, or I'm just going to go commentate this show. I'm like, have you ever done it before? And I'm like, oh no, I'm just going to do it. I'm like, it makes my eye twitch, because I'm just like, you can't just be like, oh no, I'm just going to go do it. Like, what? It's not hard. I'm like, it's very hard.
When I did the ring announcing thing one time, and basically I was backstage, I got TV announcer, like the commentator, came over, and mm-hmm. he was just like, and they were super nice, like, don't get me wrong, everyone was really cool with me, but they literally gave me no information, and I was and it was like they gave me home, like, guys' names and hometowns, not even like nicknames of guys. It was like getting like Randy Orton without the Viper. And then, like, and I'm
the tagline.
Yeah, I got none of that. So they were like telling you, like, I could see in ring interviews, and they were calling these people guys by their names like that, and I'm just like, well, where is that on my little freaking index card? For somebody who had no, they told me afterwards, like, they kind of put you in a bad spot and you did okay, so, you know, good job, dude, but like, it was freaking terrifying. And like, and I felt bad for the guys, because it was like, I don't, like, how am I supposed to know what your deal is and how to announce you properly and, you know, whatever. And it was just a bad.
Now, did you announce and also host the show?
No.
Someone
was also hosting the show. I was the substitute ring announcer.
Yeah. Dude, announcing and hosting the show at the same time. Like, that's what I do most of the time. And sometimes it's one of those things of, like, if a match was, like, devastating to somebody, or if a match, like, goes bad, like, to try to pump that crowd back up for the next match. Like, but, yeah, they should have. I mean, that's so terrible that they didn't, because it's one of those things of, like, you don't know to, like, and that's the thing is, like, I personally have to go around, because, like, I collect them. I have a wrestle decks, like a little Pokemon decks, it's like a little wrestle dex where I have everybody I've ever announced written in it. And that way I have everyone's info. But I also go around at every show and like go to every wrestler and be like, okay, so what's the, you know, I'll say, you know, what's your bill? Where are you billed from? You know, weight, you know, name. Do you have a nickname? Do you have anything else you want me to say? Like most of the people now in this area that work for us, I know, but if we have new people, obviously I'll ask them, or I'll ask people their weights because their weights change, or they'll change their weight depending on their, like the person they're fighting. They'll be like, okay, what's he weighing in at? Okay, I'll weigh in at this. Like, so the weights change, but a lot of the stuff stays the same. But yeah, that's pretty much, you know, it's tricky work. When I worked for, I went to Reality of Wrestling and did Title Match Network's Ladies Night Out 9. And I was just supposed to be the color commentator on that. And their ring announcer didn't show for their, because they had two shows that day. They had a matinee show and an evening show. And apparently she wasn't going to be able to be there for the matinee, for the early show. So they were like, hey, you ring announce too, right? I'm like, yeah. They're like, can you call and announce from the table and do commentary? And I'm like, sure. And then she didn't show for the second night, the second show too. And he's like, hey, can you do that again? I was like, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Which was cool because I got to announce like Jordan Grace and Sue Young and all that kind of stuff. Like that was really cool. But it was all, you know, and commentate also on those matches. But it was one of those things of like, it literally was told to me like, you know, 10 minutes before we started. And it was like, hey, you ring announce too, right? Yeah. You
can do, yeah, jump right
can
in.
Can you do both? Yeah, just can you just run? And so I ran around like a chicken with its head cut off and getting everybody's information, because I literally was running up to people and I was like, hi, yes, so the announcer's not going to be here, so can you give me your information so that I can announce you from the desk? I won't actually be in the ring with you, so just do your thing and I'm just going to announce you from the desk. And they're like, oh, okay. They were everyone was so, but I would like had to go to everyone and be like, so I'm going to be your announcer now. And your commentator, but you're an announcer now, so ta-da. Yeah, so Greg, what about these coal mines?
You didn't, dude, that's like 25 years old. Like that is like older than her. Come on, man.
I'm 31.
Okay, fine, but it might be that old. I don't know. This is a long. This is so. That's old. Wow.
Did you just say I'm old?
No, I said that. I said it was older than you.
Because, like, if you took that clip and I said, I'm 31, and then we just were laughing, and then you said, that's old. If we took that as a soundbite, like, no. That's what it would sound like.
No, you're not old. You're not old.
Greg, you got to answer the fine lady's question.
I don't have to do anything.
I mean, but I'm interviewing you now. Look, how the turntables have...
All right. I'm trying to think how this started. This is like 7th or 8th grade.
Okay.
So there was a sketch, one of the greatest sketch comedy shows that was ever created was The State on MTV. Okay. Hands down, one of the best sketch comedy shows. And it's all people you would know now that just show up in random movies all over the place.
Is this before Kids in the Hall?
It was after Kids in the Hall. But it's like, you know, like all the Reno 911 people, like they were all on it. Yeah. It's really how Michael Ian Black, all those guys, like it's really how they all got their start. So they did a bit like, I don't even remember what it was. And it was about a kid in class, but his parents were coal miners. Mm-hmm. And somehow that got dumped onto me in school for like a while. It was very annoying. I don't even know what to say. It wasn't, but it's not. But that's the thing. You're a dummy because that's not even a good story about me. Like there's like 4,000 better things you could.
There are
bust my nuts about instead of that one.
Coal mine, so it connected.
So you are also a coal miner's daughter.
I guess so.
Yep.
Yeah, if you want to put it that way, I guess. Yeah, that works.
You are Loretta Lynn.
Yes, I am.
Kobe.
The look
I can
on
take
your-
it. I can take it.
Incredible.
I don't give a shit. I can take it. I just can't believe you went there. That's a deep cut, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, I couldn't even do that to my best friend's best friend. But like, whoa. Y'all are savage.
Y'all. No, that one. Y'all there's my ass.
Friendship, you know. Every once in a while, you got to have some fun.
Oh man, yeah. I'm really glad that like I'm not a glad I'm not Greg right now.
That's cool. It's okay.
That's probably the nicest thing done to him with the female.
I found the fun picture of me in my. I just sent you that.
I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh my goodness.
You got to understand, Greg is the butt of the jokes, but at the end of the day, he's my best friend and no one else can do it.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I'm way more evil when it gets down to it. I am way more evil.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I can see it in your face.
Vicious. I am vicious. Because I'm the one. See, this is what I tell like my staff.
Yeah, that's the thing is you manage restaurants.
I manage kids and I'm like, you know, like they're like, oh, Greg, you're our favorite manager. I'm just like, yeah, because you're too stupid to know that I'm insulting you.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I say mean things nicely. So they think like, chipper, but.
Because we're millennials. Well, at least I'm a millennial. I don't know about you guys.
We're in between. We're like in that weird, awkward. We're not quite like Chris's falls on the line, but we're not quite millennial, not quite Gen Y or Gen X. Like we're just like in this weird vortex where like we're awesome and we're looking at everybody else like you guys are all fucking crazy. Like that's our generation. We're the observers that are just like you're nuts. We can't even deal with you people. We're just kind of like the watchers because we've seen everything. We grew up in like the weirdest time.
Yeah. I'm an older millennial because I'm 31. So I'm like 35. 35 is like the cutoff of millennials. So like I'm an older millennial. So like I've seen a bunch of stuff, but also I'm still a millennial, but I don't eat avocado toast. I don't like avocados. So that's not a thing I do. So that kind of like, oh my God, all millennials care about is like, you know, avocado toast and their social media and their Twitters and whatever. It's like, no, not true.
People put avocado on toast?
Yeah,
it's weird. You put it on a toast, you spread it on the toast like a jam, and then you put an egg on it. That's how it's like breakfast for like hipsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of hipsters. Well, you guys have a lot of, I mean, yeah, you know, just go to Bushwick.
Trust me.
No.
I was in my sister-in-law's apartment yesterday. It looked like an Etsy threw up in there and Anthropology took
a
shit.
It looked like a Pinterest.
You know, Live, Laugh, Love up here and some, you know.
Live, Laugh.
Basic shitty flowers that you get like, not like then you don't walk into Lowe's. Like you just go to like the beginning part of Lowe's flowers. Like you didn't have the gumption to walk into the store. You just kind of like just you know like Lowe's, but just the tip. And then you're like, and it's like pillows and shawls. I just went in there. Yeah, it's just like things have covers that shouldn't. You know, retro garbage cans. And she's like, oh, come look at my stuff. Like, I literally just had to pee. Michelle, can you... I just want to go to your bathroom and
that
leave.
Live, laugh, love thing is so...
Yeah.
Like, that live, laugh, love thing just, like, makes me laugh so hard. Because, like, for millennials, the whole live, laugh, love thing should just be alive.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, we're still here. Like, fuck. Like, it's just that live, laugh, love is so, it's such a, oh my goodness. That's a weird thing for people to have on there. Or that, like, what is the other one? Eat, Pray, Love or something like that. Isn't that a movie?
That's a book and a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I did those weird sayings. Like, I don't know. Like, I have a saying on my wall and it says, actually, I'm just going to pull.
Is it live, laugh? If it's live, laugh, if it's live, laugh, love, I may pee my pants.
It's not. It's not. It says it is a mirror. I'm describing it to all of you listening who have still powering through with this. It is a mirror. It hangs on my wall above my bed so I can read it every morning. When I says, it says, you're perfect. You're beautiful. You look like Linda Evangelista. You're a model. Everything about you is perfect. Did you stone those tights? Like, it is amazing. It is like a little mantra. Be like, yes, girl, get it. Woo.
You need that, Greg.
Yeah.
I need that. I'm extremely motivated.
You look like Linda Evangelista. Like,
I try.
You know, you're a model.
On a good day.
Everything about you is perfect. Did you stone those? Did you stone those tights?
I have like, no idea what that means.
Like rhinestone, like fishnets or tights. Did you stone those tights? Like rhinestones and decoration. I also do a lot of rhinestoning and stuff like that too, because I rhinestone drag queen costumes, burlesque costumes, and wrestling ring gear for wrestlers. So I do a lot of the rhinestoning too. So that's my other bit is rhinestoning. Ring gear for people. So that's another way you can pay me, people.
I don't know.
It's a good episode when you get Greg to say, get just the tip.
Yeah.
Well, I promised myself on our last, our regular show, not the interview show, that I was going to be, I felt like I was holding back. I needed to be a little bit saltier because my best Greg is mildly cranky, salty Greg.
Oh, it's man.
It's very valid because you know what's funny? It's like whenever I get mad, and Chris will vouch for this, and I'm going to dunk on myself now because everybody else fucking has today. I'm such a sweet boy that like every time I'm angry, people laugh at me because it's hilarious because it's just like, oh, stop it.
Right.
Like when I have like my meltdowns, like people just find it like it's funny to them because it's just like, you're so nice. You like, you're not really mad. Stop it. That's cute. And pat me on the head.
Welcome to being any woman that's under 5'5", because that's exactly what happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Like you get angry and somebody goes, oh, that's cute.
Yeah. You little pistol. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I mean, but that's how I get like, if it's at work or whatever, it's just when I have like my meltdowns, it's hilarious to people. And like, I go on my rants, like forget about it. But so I promised myself I was going to like take the handcuffs off a little bit on here. So, you know, I figured might as well, who cares?
I like it. I like salty Greg.
Salty Greg is the most amusing Greg.
It is.
Without a doubt.
It's like Salt Bay. But salty Greg. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little sprinkle.
A little sprinkle
of salt.
A little sprinkle, salty.
Some slap your mama in there.
Yes.
I got you with
that. Yes. Oh.
That is in my pantry.
Oh.
For sure. Absolutely.
So sweet. Need to get you some Tony. It's normal here.
Normal.
You sprinkle it. People sprinkle it on their eggs. Eggs, even. I don't do that, but they do. I don't cook.
Well, so I feel like we've come full circle, starting with the Troy joke and then finishing with sprinkling of seasonings.
Yeah. Just sprinkle a little cocaine on it. There we go, everybody. That'll wake you up. Just
don't do drugs, folks.
I've never tried cocaine. That's something I've never done.
I can barely handle light beer. I can't handle like the heart rate of cocaine.
I'm too scared to try anything but alcohol. Like I like gin. Like I drink gin. I think gin is delicious. I like to go and have a cocktail and have a gin gimlet. That's my favorite thing. I'm too scared. Like now as like in my 30s, like I wish I would have tried drugs when I was in my teens. Like,
just dabbled.
wish I would have dabbled, because I've got friends who have been like, oh yeah, in my early 20s, like I took LSD or I did coke or I did blah, blah, blah. I wish, but now that I'm at this age, like I'm like too scared to, because I'm like, what if I die?
What if I die
from it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, like, I'm too old now to try things. Like, I passed my experimental phase, which was supposed to be like in your 20s, like 21 and whatever, or earlier. I don't know. I don't know what kids do today. But like, it's one of those things of like, that was the experimental phase. Not like hard stuff. Like, don't go for like black tar heroin or something like that. Like, don't do that.
Oh my God.
But like, you know.
You just reminded me of a story. Last year.
About black tar heroin?
No. Last year, my wife and I got it, like, we had a date night. We went to a Yankees game, and we were just walking and talking and drinking and everything. And I was like,
lose?
I don't remember. I was hammered that night. So it's like, this is what happens when you have kids. You just have to like, oh, we have a sitter. Let's go drink. We're taking the train.
Yeah,
let's go.
Right.
So we were just walking through the stadium and talking, and I was like, I don't know why I drunkenly felt the need to confess this to her. And she legitimately thought I was telling her I was having an affair. Like right after I told her this, she was like, the way you set this up. And I told her, I was like, no, you know, I got some edibles from somebody at work and I've been taking them. She just was like, that's it. You had some freaking, you had some drugs candy and you thought like, that's the way you set it up. And She's like, I thought you were going to tell me you were like going to leave me or you have like a secret family. She's like, you had CBD peach rings, you freaking loser. She's like, what is wrong with you? Did you save me any? I have a penchant for the dramatic, I guess. I don't.
I see. Yeah.
There's only been one person that did cocaine at Greg's house. That was that New Year's Eve party.
Was it?
Bro, we had coke there?
That girl.
No way.
Yeah.
That was the girl that was crying and came down to me for comfort. And I was watching Batman. I was like, you know, I'm kind of watching something. Can you go away?
Yeah. That's the one that was all about me until she started throwing up and I walked away.
Oh, wow.
I think Vin wound up with her.
Yeah.
And, hey, happy birthday, Vin. It was yesterday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
I'm a loser because my New Year's Eve parties sound nothing like that.
This was not a good New Year's Eve party.
No, it was not. It was
really bad New Year's Eve party. Pretty bad.
No, I've never, and that's the thing too, is like, I've been around people who are doing drugs and or about to do drugs and they're just like, they always make that weird noise. They're like, maybe, like in New Orleans they do. They're like, huh, you want some? And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm like one of those weird DARE commercials where it's like, say no to drugs.
But
I'm like, no.
But that's
no.
But that's the
and
thing.
And I just awkwardly leave the room because I'm like, I don't want to be around when they're doing this. I'm like,
I feel so cheated sometimes when I look back on my youth. Okay, yeah, I never had a pet. We've covered that part. But like, I was never like offered a drug. Like they made it seem,
I'm sorry for being a good friend,
that's not what I was saying. It's like, they made it, when you watch TV as much as I did, you just made it feel like, oh, when you hit junior high, there's just gonna be, it's gonna be Miami in the 80s and it's gonna be everywhere. I was never like nobody ever pulled up while I was walking home in like a van and be like, hey, I got a bike in here. You want to come inside? Like, nobody's ever asked me that. Not that I would have gone, but I would have been.
Make you have to ask about yourself.
I might have gone.
But it's like, it would have been nice to have been asked. Like,
I would have liked someone to try to kidnap me.
Like, it would have been nice. Like, is something wrong with me? No. Like, nice to have been asked.
Yeah, no, I didn't get offered. I'd never been offered drugs until I hit my 30s. And then it was one of those things of like, every now and then I'd be at like a bar or hanging out and somebody would be like, hey, you want some coke? And it's like, no. But like when I was a kid, I never got the, I never was offered drugs. Drugs were never around me. And then even I moved here to New Orleans when I was 19. And from 19 to 30, I was never off. I'm in New Orleans. You like,
yeah.
I never was offered drugs. I never was offered a puppy in a weird van. Like, I never was, like, that's offered the thing. All of these things.
But peer pressure is such bullshit. It's such bullshit because, you know what? If there ever was at a party and people had, like, something and they'd be like, hey, you want some? And I'd be like, no, I'm good. They'd be like, cool, bro, more for me. That's the basis of peer pressure. That is it. Like, they're just like, hey, we're just being nice. And it's so bizarre to me. Like, and I was saying, like, we used to smoke weed. Like, that's not a drug to me. But... I mean, like,
the weird thing is I never thought that people would offer you drugs because, like, I don't know how much drugs cost, but, like, when you're younger, like, you have very little money, or if you don't plan well for life, like me, you have very little money, and you just, you know, continue. So, like, if you buy drugs, like, they're yours. Like, why would you want to just share them for free with some random person? Like, that's silly. You must be on drugs if you think you're going to share your drugs that you paid for that they didn't pay for. I don't know.
Isn't that the idea? Like, you're on drugs, so why would you share your drugs?
I don't know.
It's late.
This is the worst back to school special ever right now.
Yeah, it is. Because they make it so scary. You just think there's just everywhere you turn, there's somebody in a leather jacket and a chain wallet that's trying to force drugs down your face. And it just doesn't happen. And a dangly earring, and that's it. They don't exist.
I mean, don't do drugs, kids. Drugs are horrible. And if you bought drugs, don't share with somebody unless they're going to pay in. Because, like, you work hard for your money, your drug money.
Probably got ripped off. But seriously, it's such crap. Like,
it's probably just baking powder. Like,
yeah, it's some oregano. Whatever. Like, it's so dumb. And, like, I'm looking back at my life and it's just like, I'm just thinking about how I'm like, the talks I need to have with my kids and how, like, am I going to be a terrible parent when I'm just gonna be like, yeah, this thing, that's all bullshit. Like, just walk. If you're okay, just walk away. Just don't even just be like, hey, I'm cool. And just walk away. Because, like, how I dated a girl who did coke, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And it was like, and it was really,
was it the same girl with the knives?
No, different girl. And this is before the knife girl. And
I said really nice things about this one.
She was really cool. Like, she was really cool. Okay. We had a lot of fun. Like, and she didn't do it a lot. But there were times when, like, it was like a summer fling kind of thing. Just like, but it came time where it was just like, there was one night we were out at a bar for, you know, whatever. It's like a random night. And she, like, left me in the bar, like, alone to be in the bathroom. I'm just like, I'm freaking leaving. Like, I can't do this. Like, I'm just came to hang out with you, not for you to, like, make new friends in the stall over some blow. And it's like,
Oswego?
No.
You had a girlfriend I didn't know about?
Not a girlfriend. I said it was like, we dated. Like, it was just like,
it was like a summer.
It was a summer thing.
It was summer lovin'.
Yeah,
he had a blast.
I did, and summer lovin'. And she had her bump.
So fast,
and or three or four, and it was like, it was so weird. And I married Kaiser. I was like, if this is going anywhere, you kind of just like, it just started to weird me out. I'm just not about
drugs, Karen.
Yeah. You just flush him down the toilet.
Speaking of bump. It's really weird explaining the terminology of wrestling to non-wrestling people, because when I tell people I can take a bump, people will be like,
yeah, like, really?
What? And I'm not that bump. Yeah, like, wrestling, that's what it's called in wrestling. Also, the word gigging and gig in wrestling means to blade yourself, to cut yourself, right? In performance world, like burlesque world, drag world, any kind of world where you have costumes, your bag that has your costumes in it is known as your gig bag, because you're going to a gig, you're going to a show, an event. And so every now and then I'd be like, oh, I have that in my gig bag. And wrestlers thought I meant imagine, they were like, wait, what? And I'd show them, and they'd be like, oh, because, like, they imagined a bag full of razor blades. So it works both ways, because it's like, if you say bump in the real world, the non-wrestling world, they think cocaine. And if you say gig or gig bag in the wrestling world, they think a bag of razor blades or razor blades.
Like, I think I said, but even like the words for the actual drugs are like that. Like, I think I said pot in front of my high school employees one time, and they looked at me that like I aged 1,000 years in front of their eyes. They were
What's it called now?
It doesn't matter. It's anything. Like, it's legal. Who cares? It's just weed. Right. It's everywhere. Like, it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but it was just like,
you called it the marijuana.
Yeah, they're smoking the grass.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah. Reefer madness. Reefer madness
that
at the
best.
Reefer madness at the Panera Bread. Yeah, no.
Oh my goodness. There is a Reefer Madness musical. Yeah. And it is the best musical. One of the best musicals. Reefer Madness. It's so good. Awesome. Alan Cumming is in it. Kirsten Bell is in it. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, but
just a little tidbit for all of you. Non-wrestling related stuff. Go watch the Reefer Madness musical and don't do drugs.
We talked about wrestling in this?
Somewhere.
A little bit.
Couple times.
Nah. Yeah, a little bit. They got the gist of who I am.
I mean, listen, it's just all the more reason to bring Brittany back for another two-parter.
Yeah, another two-parter. This is definitely a two-parter now. Look at the
I think we've now hit 2 hours.
We've hit 2 hours. We're just about at 2 hours.
Podcast.
This is it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all.
No, don't. Because
listen, you have no idea how much we've needed this much humor.
Like, yeah.
I'll tell you what's going on off of the podcast, but yeah, I needed this tonight.
It was so good. So good.
You do a lot of podcasts. We know that. And I'm not asking you to, like, crap on any of them. But, like...
Oh, I will. It's fine.
Okay. Because, like, I know we're a bit unconventional.
Are you really going to ask a woman how we measure up?
I will
tell
you
where you're going, Greg.
I'm brutally honest.
Look at his face, Brittany. Look how mad he is.
Fucking kill you. But that's the thing. It's like we try to like just do our own thing because it's.
I love this. I'm gonna say it right now. I love this format because I have told my story of like how I've gotten into wrestling and how I got it because, you know, again, every podcast is going to ask that because they don't know who I am. Most of their listeners don't know who I am. So yeah. I get it. I get that I get asked it. But it's one of those things of like even saying it on here wasn't as like robotic and like as I normally say it because normally I'm like, oh, yeah. And like I get to throw a little laughter in there, but sometimes it's really super just straight and rigid and like that's fine, that's how they operate, whatever, but like this is so much more engaging because you get to see the actual person or persona or whatever, you get to see the actual person, which I think is something that is lacking most of the time in interviews is being able to just see the actual person talk, because then Through that, you'll get funny stories, or through that, you'll get that person's personality. And clearly, you can see that I'm like a weird, I don't even know how to describe myself at this point. But you know what? You guys, if you leave comments on this podcast or whatever, you guys make up your minds about me. Come up with a short essay. I don't know.
But that's the thing. It's even filtered into our other show because we're, you know, our next flagship show, we were going to do a feature about Barry Windham, and there's an hour and a half shoot interview with him from like 2 years ago on YouTube, and Chris was like, we were texting yesterday and Chris is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I was like, I want to watch the shoot interview, and I'm just like, don't. I watched 5 minutes of it. I wanted to absolutely just fall asleep. It was the worst Ben Stein asking questions interview ever. No. I was like, dude, I will send you the link. There's a transcript. It's so much more interesting if you just read it, because I could not sit through it. It was just like, and then what happened with your life? And I'm just like, I can't. I got 5 minutes in. I was just like, I can't freaking do this.
Yeah, I like being entertaining. I mean, that's our business. That's what I do. I love to entertain people. So if I can be entertaining, also just telling my boring ass story of how I came into this whole thing. I literally, like, people will be like, how did you get into wrestling? Like, I tripped and fell. That's it. I tripped and fell and landed on wrestling. Like, that's what happened. Yeah. I tripped, fell, boom, I'm here. Like, it's, you know, it's not, nobody like was like, I see potential in you. I was like, nah, I'm gonna try these things and hope that it works.
Yeah. But that's why we like this format as well, because in some weird way, I feel like we're hoping to elevate the status of people, even in our little, you know, little podcast here. But if somebody hears this and maybe they're a fan of them in the ring or know of them in the ring, but then they know the person. Like I said earlier, you're following that person if you're a fan of them forever. It doesn't matter where they're working. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter how crap and corny their gimmick may be. You're just like, hey, I know what they're kind of really like I heard them on the show and I'm going to follow them. And that's going to A, make them money. And down the road and help their careers and help their livelihood. And if that's anything we can do, I don't give a crap if I make money off this. It would be nice considering I'm out of work. But if we can do that for you guys, for yourself or whoever, people you work with, anything like that, like that's worth it enough for me in the long run, because it's about making this industry that we love so much, that had been such a huge part of our lives for so long, especially for someone like you and Chris and I, who are just a couple of farts that have been watching this our whole lives. Like it's all about making it better and keeping it strong, because it's hurting right now and we're going to get it back. It's going to be better. Yeah. And when it comes back, it's going to be better than ever, because it's just so much getting fixed, and you're at the head of that movement as a female owner and promoter. Like,
yeah,
you're like, that's everything this business needs right now. Is
the most hated person in Louisiana wrestling right now.
But but you know what? If they don't hate you, that means they don't know who you are and don't know how hard you work. So you know what? It's got to tell you something. They hate you because they're scared.
Yeah.
That's why. Like, come on.
The good old boys are a little scared. Yeah. Good old boys. Because the other wrestling promotions around here are just, man, in all of Louisiana, really. But it's one of those things that they're all owned by older white men. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. That's all that, you know. And some of them don't even believe in female wrestling, like women's wrestling or intergender wrestling, but definitely not intergender wrestling, but even like female wrestling. Like there's only a very few of the promotions around here that will have maybe one women's match, maybe, and other than that it's just a bunch of, you know, regular wrestling, which is fine. I love old school wrestling, but it's one of those things of it's like that they don't, it's not diversity. Like, there's not a lot of POCs. There's, you know, or people of color, for those that don't understand the breakdown. There's not a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of women. There's not a lot, if any, besides what my company, bringing in people who are openly gay or LGBT or trans or anything like that. Like, it's just like, it doesn't exist here in the South. It's really hard to, you know, and the fans want it. The fans love it. The fans come for the entertainment. They want the stories. And like our fans have been really open and really, you know, everybody thinks of the South is like bad, and I mean, believe me, it is. But it's one of those things of like, when you give them something and show it to them and go, no, this is what we do. And like people, I've gotten flack from people for me posting about Black Lives Matter and posting about, you know, LGBT rights and then Black Trans Lives Matter. I've gotten a lot of heat from other promoters and other people here in the South being like, oh, you're going to lose fans. I don't need their $10. If they look at some of the people in my ring, some of my wrestlers, some of my workers, and think that they don't deserve rights and they are lower than the white privileged people that are sitting next to them, then I don't want them at my show. Because even if they don't say anything out loud, they're thinking it, and I don't want that kind of energy at my show. So if you're somebody who does not think Black Lives Matter, does not believe in, you know, LGBT rights and trans rights and all that kind of stuff, and you think that people are, if there's anybody in the world that's lesser than you, then I don't want you at my shows. I don't need your $10. I will find another way to make that money and pay them, because I don't want any of that kind of stuff at my show at all. Sorry to get serious.
No, that's good. Because you know what? As somebody in your position, you're constantly looking for the best talent, right? Like you're looking for the best possible, putting out the best possible product you can. And in my experiences, and it's like talent will supersede any label you throw on anybody, and it should.
Yep.
The only thing I'm looking for in wrestling, and anybody, in any performer or show, whatever, entertain me, grab my eye.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know,
show me something, make me feel something, make me laugh, make me cry, make me jump out of my chair, make me do something. That's it. That's all I want. And that's not asking a lot, because that's basically the job, you know? So, and it should really, and I appreciate all the things that you do and the inclusivity, I guess, if I just made up a word, I'm not sure. That's fine. That you thrive on and you're pushing for, because that's not the future of the business. That's the now. That's what we need right now. It's not, it's not 5 years from now. It's not 10 years from now. It's yesterday. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's commendable that that's what you're shooting for. And it shows in the level of production you put on. And that's, and I'll tell you what, and I'm going to, pardon me, I'm just going to kiss your ass a little bit more right now. When I first watched Elevate, you know, when we were doing prep for the Dale Springs interview, which was our first interview ever. And it was the one thing that caught my eye right away was the camera work you guys do for carving out your tiny little corner of Louisiana. I'm just like, and you can see the guys with the sticks and the, like the tiny thing. And it's just like, man, they made this, like whatever they did, they make it look great. And it really blew my mind, because I don't watch a lot of, before that, like I didn't really watch a lot of indie wrestling on YouTube before I started doing this, like never. And it was like, just for to have that as my, and the stuff I had didn't look like that, man. So it's like so that immediately caught my eye. So I'm definitely gonna, like, we always plug the hell out of your YouTube channel, because it really is top notch. For independent wrestling, and we hope that this thing clears up and Louisiana eases up a little bit, and you can start pumping out some shows, man, and making some money, because you definitely, it's like we need it.
We do, and that's all we want to do, is entertain. Like, I want to entertain the masses safely, but I want to entertain the masses. You know, we don't really have the luxury here in New Orleans, being such a city and the surrounding areas, to do outside shows a lot. So like, we don't have that luxury right now of being able to do things the way other promotions in different states are able to be like, oh, we can just run an outside show. We don't really have that option. Like, that's still not a, like, that's, you know, it's hard to find a place big enough or willing. And also during the summertime, again, you know, even though you like
brutal.
It
brutal
fucking weirdo. But hot. It's, you know, it's almost 100 degrees every day with, you know, 95% humidity. So like, no one's gonna enjoy wrestling outside. That's for sure.
Yeah.
and my face will melt off, and that's going to be a horrible image that will scar the children for life.
My make is look like the Joker.
Yeah, it's just gonna stripping. Run. Like my eyelash will be on my cheek.
Like a freaking Picasso.
Yeah. Oh goodness. Yeah, no, that's what I just want more. I just want more wrestling. I want people to be safe. I want COVID to be over. I'm glad the murder hornets aren't around, even though like they were a thing there for a minute, but they're not anymore. Whatever.
That's why COVID got worse. Some idiot went back in time and killed all the murder hornets and made COVID worse.
Yeah. I read about that whole like time thing. Also, I just think like my favorite one is the Black Mirror one. Just like, man, Black Mirror outdid themselves by having us live season 6 instead of watching it. Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah. You messed up, man.
Yeah.
Well, once everything does clear up, we're definitely going to make a trip down to New Orleans.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Come down, like come enjoy. Like we'll go sit at a bar and say no to all the cocaine that we're asked to do. And then we'll drink.
That's our goal. That's our goal. That's our mission. We have like a scavenger hunt. We need to be, if we hang out, we need to be offered cocaine, or so whoever gets offered cocaine first, like wins. We'll throw like 20 bucks in a pool. Whoever's offered coke once.
And you have to yell bingo.
Yeah.
But awkwardly while that person's offering it, so he has no clue what you're saying. Like he or she, I shouldn't be specific, but yeah. You know, like they, you know, whoever.
We can't really do it that loud. They're gonna think we're cops. You're gonna be like narcs.
You need to get shot.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. They don't have guns. It's okay. And they'll just offer you coke, and then awkwardly you just yell bingo in their face. You're just like bingo.
New Orleans bingo card. There it is right there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, for sure. And you got to let us know. You said you come to New York frequently, so let us know.
I have a lot of friends in Brooklyn. And New York is like my second home. So it's like I go there. I'm there quite often for like 5 or 6 years. I've been there at least like twice a year. So.
Well, you got two more.
Definitely let us know.
You have two more here, okay? So definitely hit us up, because.
And my wife actually likes Elevate Pro, so it's. I made her watch it with me. She thought you were very talented and said you're a very nice looking woman.
Thank you. I'll tell her thank you.
I will.
Yay.
And I'm still 4 years old, because I could say things like Greg said, just the tip, but then I still have to be careful what I say when I compliment people.
It's okay. No, it's fine.
2020 and you don't want to overstep.
No, and that's and being self-aware is so great. That's the thing, is like, you know, and even me being self-aware, you know, like we all need to be self-aware about what we say to people and how it comes off, but also still realize that we can still give compliments and we can still talk to people. Because that's the thing, is like a lot of people, when this whole thing came out, or when the whole, like, you know, just being able to talk to women came out, men were like, oh, well, I guess I can't just speak to a woman ever again. It's like, but okay, so wait, what? How did you just... Were you just never able to, like, you can, it's just, you got to make sure you're self-aware in your speaking, you know? And it's one of those things of like, we all just need to be, you know, self-aware. Or people that strictly deny the idea of using them, their pronouns for people, or non-binary pronouns for people. And it's just one of those things of like, just do it. It's not hurting you. It's like wearing a mask. Just do it. It's not hurting you. I've seen 2-year-olds wearing masks. If a 2-year-old doesn't rip off a mask and you do, there's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hear that, Karen? You put your mask on.
Yeah.
Put it on.
God, all the Karens of the world.
I dated a Karen in college.
Was she actually a Karen?
She fit the stereotypes completely.
Well, that's the thing too, is my name is Brittany, so it's like, it's like, so like, I'm a white girl named Brittany. Like, you can listeners, if you haven't seen my picture, you can get whatever picture in your head. It's probably correct. And like, so it's one of those things of like, I'm a stereotype in itself too, because I'm a white girl named Brittany. And I joke about it because it's some people, I'll be like, I'm going to Starbucks. And they're like, what are you getting? I'm like, what every white girl named Brittany's getting, a pumpkin spice latte. Like, duh, of course. Like, that's exactly what I'm getting. PSLs are life. But, you know, it's one of those things of, yeah, the Karens are a whole nother level. Us Britneys can never compare to Karens.
Well, we check some stereotype boxes a little bit.
Hey.
New York,
a couple of Gavones over here. A couple of Stunad Gavones. That's what we are.
Is that what that? I don't know what that means.
You don't know what Stunad means?
No.
Oh, my God. Use it. You can use it now. You can use it tomorrow when I'm talking about something. It means like dumbass.
Oh, okay.
So that's my wife's pet name for me, but... It's
no.
Well, I mean, I'm kidding. It's not.
After what you've done to her, I understand.
Stop saying "done" to her.
I mean, you clearly,
yeah, clearly, it was like the foreshadowing of like, yay, let's have another baby, and then a horrible pandemic happens, and I lose my job. Yay. Yeah.
And you put the parasite in her that's just feeding off of her.
Yeah, it's a girl. So it's like...
It's a girl, so you're going to have a girl and a boy?
Yeah, then I could stop.
Yeah.
Once the birthing's over, I'm done. I'm just done.
Are you going to get snip-snipped?
I didn't want to say that, but I told her already. I was just like, yeah, we're good. I'm out. I'm out, G. Oh,
no. So you're going to get a vasectomy?
Maybe.
You should. It's like, okay, so here's the thing. I advocate highly for men to get vasectomies and reversible vasectomies. Vasectomies can be reversible. This is such a weird thing to talk about. Hello, wrestling. Goodbye, wrestling. So vasectomies.
We got
to
get out of here. this is fucked up. Now, I don't know. I joke around about it, but like, I don't know. But it's just...
It is a 15-minute procedure, and you are fine... the next day, whereas a woman getting her tubes tied can be like a 2-week outing kind of thing, like, and can be very damaging. So like, but, for a man, it's so easier.
Yeah, but it's just, she's just like, well, what if we want another one? I'm just like, okay.
Oh, get the reversible one.
No, it's fine. I kid. I'm probably not gonna do it. I'm probably not allowed in the hospital anyway, when the kid's born. So with things going on, so like. But yeah, we'll have one of each, and it's cool and everything, and yeah.
You look stressed.
No, not at all. It's fine. It's just, you know.
Don't be stressed. We'll help. I mean, not I can't help. I can help
I'm
you from a distance.
So good. I'm so good with, like, there's a longer story behind this, but like, I'm so cool with this one right now. Like, just to be.
Nice.
It was easy to pick out a name because we had one picked out the first time.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, when you had, like, we were just like, well, if it's a boy, we're screwed. We have nothing. We used our name already, and it was just like, oh, crap, like, what are we going to do? And that was, like, a big fight. So we were, like, kind of happy when it was a girl. But.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude.
My parents didn't find out until I was born.
See, I couldn't handle that.
My dad kept swearing that I was going to be a girl, and my mom kept swearing that I was going to be a boy. And since my mom had already had two children, she was like, I know, because it kicks too hard. So it's going to be it's a boy because it kicks too hard. I'm a really good kicker.
Nice.
So she was like, I'm going to name it. And so they fought basically like, he was like, fine, if you're right, I'm going to name it something ridiculous. So he was going to, so my boy name would have been Buford.
That is a kick ass name.
Yeah. So Buford was supposed to be my name. The cat was named Buford, by the way. after I was born, we used the name to name our cat. But Buford was going to be my name if I was a boy, and Amber Lynn was going to be my name if I was a girl. Now, Amber Lynn is a porn name, by the way, but Amber Lynn was going to be my name. And then I was born, and my mom looked at me and went, Brittany Nicole. And my dad was like, what? And she's like, I don't know. She just looks like a Brittany Nicole. And so that's how I got my name.
Greg's sister wanted to name him Oreo Speedwagon.
That's a true story.
They're such a good band.
I know. I'm still mad about it. 39 years later, almost. I got Greg with two G's. That's freaking awesome. That didn't cause me nightmares.
Greg.
Yeah. Yep. See, there you go. Yep, haven't heard that one before.
And my wife, when she first met my brother Greg, who is 1G, and then Greg, she actually met this Greg first. So she referred to him as double G, and my brother is Greg, because she needed to differentiate in story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because she would get, she's like, which Greg, damn it?
Yeah. To that group of friends, like, my last name's Mastropolo, I'm Mastro, so they don't get us confused.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah, they just, that's like how they Mastro. Refer to me. Yeah.
It's like Maestro.
Yeah, that was like my high school nickname that just kind of developed on. But like, it's so funny because, but like, look at like Chris's sister-in-law. For years, I thought she had one sister, Jen. And then she started talking about her sister Jen and then her sister Jeanette. And then I was like, wait a minute. And then one day I was like, I'd known her for like 8 years. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, so you have two sisters? She's like, yeah. She's like, I was like, it's Jeanette and Jennifer? She's like, yeah. I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I was like, that's insane.
No offense, Chris.
No, that's his sister. Yeah. She's fine. She's family. It's fine. She loves us.
My neighbor. It's fine.
It's fine. So we're the godfathers to their two boys. It's fine. So,
oh, that's horrible.
So like it's so funny because I had no idea because I thought she was talking about the same person every time.
Oh my God.
I was like, that is freaking insane. But I mean, we have like we have not weird names. My son's Owen, so that was cool.
Owen's a good name.
We wanted something short because I have such a long last name. So like short, quick things that can fit on standardized tests, that would be really nice.
What are you trying to say, dude?
I feel bad for you.
My mom didn't think that through either. Yeah. I have a long ass name.
Yeah.
Like Brittany Nicole, like Brittany is, you know, spelled Brittani, and then Nicole is Nicole because she just wanted to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last name is Houghton, which is Houghton. So like my full name is like really long to write out.
Yeah. it's so, and then the girl, I'll say it because probably by the time this airs, she'll be here. It's fine. But,
surprise ending, which is a picture of your ending. Baby.
Yeah. Hey.
By the time we're off, but actually, I think by the time this podcast ends, your wife's going to walk in with the baby.
Yeah,
like,
she's
going to
be like, here you go. Hold her, asshole. You missed it. Your stupid podcast I don't support. No,
what's
so it's going to be Tessa. Tessa Catherine. So, and it's not after the wrestler. I know I have an Owen and a Tessa, and that has wrestling ties. It's not.
But Tessa is a really cute name.
It is, because her grandmother was Teresa, but everyone called her Tess. So we just kind of shortened it and made our own name out of it.
See, and I like when people pull like little things from like my great grandmother's name was Drusilla, on my mother's name. So I would definitely name my daughter Drusilla. Hands down, like because Drusilla is such a badass name. First of all, Buffy, it's in Buffy. If you ever watch Buffy, Drusilla,
of course.
Second of all, just having Drew as like a short name,
mm-hmm.
like Drew, like that's cute. And also, like I just feel like I don't know, Drusilla, and the fact it's my great grandmother, I was like, hell yeah, Drusilla. I was like, sweet.
See, I can't name it after my grandmother. It's like Edna. No, that's sorry, just can't do it.
My grandmother's name is my grandmother's name is Gloria.
That just flows. That's a grandmother's name.
Gloria, yeah. Although my grandmother, I thought my grandmother was Angela Lansbury. for Murder,
like,
She Wrote.
Like, for real?
Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, when I was a little kid, I thought, because I would watch Murder, She Wrote, and my grandmother would watch Murder, She Wrote, and my grandmother dressed and looked just like her. And so I thought my grandmother was the woman on TV. So I thought she was Angela Lansbury.
Solving mysteries in the Myrtle, in the highest murder rate per capita in America?
Yeah.
That little main town has more murders than frickin' Newark.
You know, it's just, you know, hey, it's always the quiet, weird little towns that have the most secrets.
It's that place and Camden, New Jersey. Like, that's it. That's like the top two.
And New Orleans is like, comes in third.
All right. We gotta get out of here. We gotta wrap this up. We can still talk, but we gotta. Chris is gonna fall asleep. This has been the marathon podcast of all time.
We hope you learned so much about us.
This is my dream to have a whack radio show. I don't even care if it's about wrestling. I love it. I love wrestling, but this is my dream to have like just some random ass radio show. And that was totally it right now. So, Brittany, why don't you give out all your information and everything, your social medias and all that stuff. So, like, information. Like, I was like, yeah, give us your soch. And
well,
your blood type.
My blood type is AB positive. I'm the party blood. You can put me in anything. So I'm AB positive. I'm a Sagittarius.
Ooh.
I'm the cusp. I'm December 21st. So I'm the last day of Sagittarius. And so Sagittarius Capricorn. But yeah, it's very easy. All of my information, it's very streamlined to make it simple. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the website is all under Look It's Brittany. So it's LOOKITSBRITTANI.com or at Look It's Brittany on all the social media sites. If you want to look up Elevate Pro, again, I streamlined it because I'm a smart cookie. And it's Elevate Pro, ELEV, the number 8, Elevate, Pro, PRO. You can find that on all the social medias, and also the website is elevatepro.com. So super, super simple. Yeah. And yeah, that's all the things, how you can find me.
Yeah, ton of great content on Elevate Pro's YouTube channel, by the way. They have a whole bunch of different stuff, not just full wrestling shows. You have specials and things like that. It's awesome. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, do all the random things like that. You get to see my face talk sometimes. Sometimes I do interviews. Sometimes Serpentico just attacks me. You know, just random things like that. Half of the AEW roster you can see on there, because we've got like Serpentico and Skylar and Danny Jordan and Ali and all that kind of stuff. Like, we've worked with a lot of great people who are now working at AEW and stuff like that. So it's been really fun to see them blossom.
You can follow us at DDT Archives. By the way, you have been listening to the DDT Archives. You can follow us on Instagram
at
DDT Archives. And you can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB. We hope you enjoyed this marathon, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Just imagine our listener is just this, like a skeleton now, like an old funny movie where this is in there. Like, I just started listening to this show.